Welcome everyone to the Let's Talk ICP podcast. Today is our episode number 56. We are going to talk about devs, about Motoko, about cool projects, for sure about internet computer. Always we talk about internet computer. And today the guest is it's something super super cool, super important also for us, for the ICP Hub North America, because he's also collaborating with us in some activities, in workshops, in he's also part of our mentor team for the ICP Master. That's cool to have you today. His name is Ethan Seletti. He's on Twitter, he's calling Jack Tech. It's J-E-K-C-T-E-K. He's a freelancer. He's also an internet computer developer, the founder as well of DAO Ball. He's pretty recognized or super recognized, I would say, in the developer ecosystem on the internet computer. A guy that normally participates a lot in the dev post, in the forum, Definity forums, and he's always in all the TED talks with other folks from the internet computer ecosystem. It's a real pleasure to have you today, Ethan. Thank you so much.
Wow, it's an honor here. I think this is actually my first time on a podcast. I've been on a Twitter space once, but yeah, I don't think I've done the podcast yet.
Nice. Yeah, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Let's Talk Thank ICP. First of all, as always, please let us know, introduce yourself. Who is Ethan Seletti? Who is Jack Tech?
Yeah, who am I? I'm a freelance dev on the internet computer. It's where I focus all my time these days. I got started in the space almost like, I was looking it up, it was like February of 2022. So it's been like 2 years now. It's been a very interesting 2 years. Before all this, like I've worked as a traditional Web 2 developer, full stack, nothing too exciting, just hopping between a few companies. But I ran across the internet computer like late 2021, early 2022, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Hadn't heard anything about it, and I was just going through, like, every once in a while, kind of like get back into the crypto space and kind of see what's been happening. And so I've historically like been into like Bitcoin and Ethereum, but not in a developer sense, just kind of like following and respecting the technology and learning about it, and you know, putting buying some Bitcoin and Ethereum here and there. But as a developer, I never was interested in getting into that kind of thing, because like Bitcoin really was just, you know, money and people build stuff on top of it, but it's pretty bare bones. And then Ethereum came around, very cool, love the concepts, but you have to, as like a developer, you have to like make this very small, super efficient thing, stamp it permanently in the blockchain, and like, oops, there's a bug, or I need to fix something. Like, you can't update it. Like, there are workarounds and hacks to get that kind of thing kind of dynamic. Mm-hmm. But then you got, you know, dealing with fees and like it, and it being so focused on kind of financials, because, you know, crypto is the base of all this. It's just like, how do you build something around money, which wasn't really my space. So like I think it was just like going into YouTube videos, and I ran across the internet computer, and it was just completely different. Like, I don't even really think about it as like traditional blockchain. You know, it's like, this is something where I can take my web development experience and kind of just bring those skills over and make full stack applications, and mm-hmm. like not financially related, and just build it straight on the internet computer.
I know also, like, yeah, you are a Motoko expert Of course, Motoko is the programming language, the native programming language on the internet computer, built by the Definity Foundation. Definity is someone is they don't if someone know they don't know exactly who is Definity is the major a major contributor to the internet computer blockchain. But before Motoko, because you mentioned you started in 2021 at the end, more or less. Before what was exactly your task as a developer? You are like a more involved in JavaScript, in Python, Rust. What exactly you did before?
Yeah, I kind of hopped around a little bit. Like my majority of my background has been Microsoft based technologies. So like back end wise, like C Sharp and Windows and that kind of thing. But I was full stack engineer, so JavaScript and all the different frameworks you can think of, I've dabbled in. But I kind of pivoted towards the end more towards a software architect, where I like to focus on kind of high level system design. And that's also what really intrigued me about the internet computer, was just kind of like, this is a new paradigm on like distributed public like services, which was just wildly different from what I've been working on historically, and very cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And how you meet internet computer? You mentioned before Bitcoin, Ethereum. It was like I assume after the price crash, once something all these bad thing happens and bad actors enter in the ICP, because it was really really well in the mainnet in the beginning, but then the price did go like crash for different reasons that we are not going to discuss today. But for you, how it like first time that you listen about internet computer, what is internet computer, what is this logo,
so,
what these guys are doing?
The way I ran across it was I was just doing a bunch of different research on new technologies and whatnot. And I actually had not, until I got into the internet computer space after a while, I had not heard about any of this price stuff and like the Genesis, crash of price and all that drama. And I figured out after like being on the forums and like seeing things of people like, having bad reactions to internet computer, and I just didn't understand why. And then I finally learned the history of it. So the way I approach a lot of these things is I'm not a person who's like an investor, care about the price and things like that. Like the big thing about the internet computer for me was just the like capabilities and practicality of what it can do. Like it's different than other blockchains. Like there are some trade-offs that have been made, but like the advantages you get for building on the internet computer. So I kind of saw it as a blessing, a little bit of like, there's kind of this FUD around the internet computer space because of all the price action of it dropping and people saying it's a scam or whatnot, to be able to like get into an ecosystem where people like care about the technology versus just the price and just being like a hype scenario. And then in theory, if you're in for the investment, like, and assuming things work out, like, you're buying in and getting in when the price is super low and when people don't fully respect and understand like the technology behind it, so that, things take off in the future, you're in a better position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as a developer for you, and I normally like a lot of developers listen this podcast because it's also pretty focused on tech and on the deployment things, deployment the projects. What is your tips on that, or why do you think internet computer for developers is it's simple, it's easy, or it's difficult? But then we can focus more in the tech side for the ICP, but just focusing on for developers, if we can maybe explain a little bit more, because it's like a WebAssembly, right? Like you have different programming languages that you can build on ICP. Can you like can we dive in more on that in
Sure.
the dev perspective?
Yeah. So from the dev perspective, so just as a like a background for me is like I'm familiar with like things like Ethereum and other like EVM, Solidity, and programming on those types of things. I don't come from that background, so I don't have a heck of a lot of experience of like, you know, so I can't really compare exactly, you know, the experiences, but like it is a early development experience. So there has been like some hiccups along the way, but that's with anything. So you got like Motoko and DFX, which is like command line and whatnot. So a lot of it has there's a bit of a learning curve at first. But compared to like other systems, not a problem. But yeah, so you can if you're like a Web2 developer right now, and the changes that have happened in the last couple of years to make the internet computer a lot more mature and easier to use, you can come over, you can build on TypeScript, you can build on Python, you can build on Rust, Motoko, C++. So the internet computer smart contracts are built and run WASM, WebAssembly. So if you can take any language, go down to WebAssembly and have a CDK for the internet computer, like you can just use it, which is very cool. Unlike other blockchains where it's like, okay, you're gonna have to use this programming language, or like here's an EVM that you're gonna have to build on top of, where the internet computer is more like adopting more open standards like WebAssembly, so that like right now it's open, but like think about like in the future, like as long as things can compile down to WebAssembly, like it's going to be able to work. And with that, you got different aspects of like as a Web2 developer coming in, of like you're not having to really worry about these low level things of like, oh, transactions and fees and worrying about like a good user experience because it's so like technical and crypto related. You just kind of build an application. Like there is a different paradigm, which we can get into, of this kind of like actor distributed model versus your traditional like Web2 thing. But essentially, it comes down to the same thing. Write an application, do whatever you want, and put it on the internet computer, and you're good to go. And they've got a very good like, which has been very different, super helpful, is you can have a local internet computer on your own machine for development purposes, and be able to like pretend like it's mainnet and do anything and update. And then once you're ready, you can just push that out. Like for example, you can it doesn't even have to be an application. Like I have for Dowball, which we'll get into, and my own like personal website, just a static website. I've utilized the internet computer because it's easy and cheap. I don't have to go to some like service and like rent some server or just have like a WordPress site or whatever. I can just make my own custom thing for like, you know, a couple bucks, just create a canister, fill it up with gas, and then it's just there, which is pretty cool.
No, totally. And I'm curious also why you decided to move to Motoko or to start like deploying in Motoko because you have backgrounds in other programming languages. You use like you know, as you mentioned with WebAssembly, you have other options on ICP, C++ or Python or Rust or TypeScript that maybe are more familiar or more famous, these programming languages. But why do you start like building in Motoko, learn Motoko, and what is the advantages for get the knowledge and expertise and deploy projects in Motoko directly on the internet computer?
Yeah, great question. So yeah, I have all these different options. Like I think one of the most popular ones right now is Rust, as a programming language, which I'm a big fan of Rust. And for the non-technical people, it's like more modern version of like C++, where you get super high performance, and whatnot. But with the trade-off of it being like steep learning curve and developing things will take longer, just because you're getting like that performance and you're making sure everything is like everything is good and there's memory management we have to go into. But so I see Motoko as kind of like the blockchain and more, I don't want to say simplified, but we could just say simplified Rust. So in the blockchain space, I guess I should take a step back. Whenever you're choosing a programming language for those who don't code, you're essentially picking a tool, right? So if, like, think about tools in your garage. I can take a wrench and I can hammer a nail with a wrench. It'll technically work, but you're probably going to want to use a hammer to get your best performance and it to be easy. So same thing with the programming language. You can pick between all these ones. Motoko, I think, really lands on, like, it was designed around the internet computer, which is just super helpful. So it has advantages that Rust has, which is like, it's very strict in the way where if you're running your code, it's not just going to randomly just like have as many bugs or things that happen during runtime. Those will like kind of be filtered out, and you're not able to do as many of those like accidental, oops, I forgot this and now there's a bug or whatever. Motoko and Rust make you handle them, and are pretty strict about that. And that's very important when you're building on blockchain tech, because unlike a traditional Web 2 kind of scenario where you kind of have a back door and you have the keys and like you're in full and control and you can update it whenever you want. If you're doing something like this is a smart contract canister that is controlled by a DAO, like these things get to be very important. Like you're either dealing with money or you're dealing with like, powers within a DAO, and services. So you want to make sure that these things don't just aren't as frail when it comes to like execution and running these things, and you want to make sure it's going to do what it says it does. So Motoko does that really well, and I think it has a much less learning curve than Rust, so I feel like it's a very good option. And so I saw it, and I as a developer love learning languages. So it was kind of a perfect fit to be able to kind of learn this new thing and really gain the advantages it has.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah, that's cool. And maybe other developers are thinking now, like, hey, yeah, why not, right? I can maybe if the learning curve is shorter compared with Rust, and also like the you can build anything through a Motoko, why not? We kind of try. And then yes, I know like internet computer is there are a lot of different unique features that are really cool, but one of them is the operating at web speed, right? And you mentioned before that PowerDAO or your BoldDAO, sorry, and your project and other things that you are building on ICP, you are directly creating websites 100% on chain, right? On the internet computer. I'm curious because there are a lot of Web 2 companies, a lot of businesses that they are still building on the Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud or other legacy IT tech clouds. My question here is, for the maybe for the Web 2 devs, what is the advice that you can give them? Like, is easy like build on the internet computer as like the operating at web speed, this is something really cool that you can easily build your business, whatever is your business, but totally your website, hosted storage and everything put on the internet computer, 100% on chain. How the developers can do that? Is an easy process? Is difficult? What is the tips that you give them? Any advice? Any programs? Something you if you can explain a little bit more about this thing?
So I will preface it with saying that, like, so we're at an interesting point, and this kind of applies to a lot of like blockchain related things versus like your traditional web 2. Is you can think of it as like traditional web 2 is built on not exactly like a not solid foundation, but how I see it is that like everything has kind of been built from scratch. The commonality between all web 2 is that everyone's kind of connected to the internet, but that's pretty much it. And so everything, like from like your WordPress sites to your like Amazon Web Services and any like service or like tool you'll use, has been like built over, you know, years, decades to get to a point where it's easy to use. You know, you can just kind of spin things up. But if you look under the hood, things are like very proprietary or like complex and have been built on all these other systems. And you're going to have to utilize things like Google because they're kind of like the commonality between everything. Like everyone has a Google account. So like all these different aspects have made Web 2 like very easy to use. But we're kind of reaching that peak of like, you know, what, where else can we go? And like, are we just going to be like big tech? It's kind of like the common layer that everyone shares and we don't really have a choice. But now we switch to a blockchain lens and we have this really solid foundation and like all these like protocols, which is just essentially a bunch of different computers speaking the same language and agreeing on common things that they share. Like all that is there and we're building on top of this common infrastructure, but we don't have the like super good like user experience and stuff that like something like a Web 2 would have, because you know they're years, decades ahead of what we're doing, and essentially a lot of the stuff you have to kind of write from scratch. So and that's kind of what like I'm working on, is like using Motoko, brand new language, internet computers, brand new like system, like making libraries, people are making apps and everything and different toolings and things for testing and making the like developer experience better and all that stuff. It's getting there and it's gonna get better and better and better. It's just gonna take a little time, but like especially relative to other like blockchains, like internet computer is a great experience. So like you could take, if you have like a front end application, like either a static website or something simple, it's actually an easy process to like copy and paste that into the internet computer, because essentially that's just hosting like all of your HTML and JavaScript and CSS files. So you don't have to be reliant on, you know, Amazon Web Services or whatever service you're using. And it's not a problem. But the, it's going to take a little bit for some of these backend things to change. Like we're writing things in Motoko, like making libraries, people are making like all the different things from like your token standards and, you know, NFTs and everything like that. So it's a super cool place to be in. But there is going to be a little bit more of a learning curve, but I think it's totally worth it. And it's only going to get better from here.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the answer. Let's talk about your project. I'm curious. Exactly. Okay. You are the founder of DAO Ball. DAO Ball, I saw the logo. It's like a baseball ball, right? And then the background is so cool with different colors. What is DAO Ball exactly?
It's a great question. so a little bit of backstory. So after I got into the internet computer, I did a few things. I am the creator, maintainer of a C Sharp agent that can connect to the internet computer. So if you have a C Sharp application, I'll plug into the internet computer. I got the tool you need. And then I kind of got into Motoko, into libraries, and I needed, like, I knew from the beginning of the internet computer, like, there's something I need to do, something speaking to me that this is like wildly different of like I can kind of put up a kind of autonomous service and it can kind of just live there and anyone can come and interact with it. And then when you're dealing with things like DAOs and tokenomics, you're able to kind of create this like blockchain native permissionless system where you can just have this running autonomous thing and have everyone interact with it, and you can plug it into any different service. So it was this very nebulous thought that was just in the back of my head. I was trying to figure out what exactly to do with it. And slowly over time, I was thinking of like, there has to be this simulation. I don't know exactly what, but like something has to be running and kind of like alive, if you will, and people can come in and interact with it and can contribute to it and things like that. So, which eventually led to DAO Ball, which I'll get to. But like me as myself, I'm a developer first and foremost. I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a businessman really of any kind. So like I'm trying to figure out how to make this happen. And so I kind of came up with the idea of using like working on a project that does have like an end goal and like something that is like an application that people can use and maybe like be able to get money through. But like I really want it to be like a test bed for some ideas because there's a lot of talk out there on like, oh, here's a DAO idea or like DAOs are so cool and whatnot. But until I got in the internet computer space and even like recently, like I wasn't really a part of a DAO or at least a part of a DAO that like I'm contributing to versus just kind of like an investment type of thing. So there's a lot of like these theories on how DAOs and other technology works, but not a lot of things that we're interacting with that is using this technology. So I wanted to like make something that can experiment with these ideas, but not be some have it be a low stakes environment. Because another thing that I see, which like isn't necessarily a bad thing, but is a lot of the blockchain because it's crypto native space. A lot of the blockchain applications that you see are like, buy the token, stake it, get rewards. You're gonna get rich off of like this thing. Come like go in here, but no one's actually like using it. They're just kind of like hoping to go to the moon with the token price or something like that. So I wanted to create a space that kind of played with some blockchain ideas, but not be a just like hype financial investment type of thing. So went through some iterations, but we eventually, myself and I have a friend who's kind of like part-time helping me out with some of the design work on this, kind of landed on DAO Ball, which itself has been a few iterations, but the basic idea is that I wanted to play with the DAO concept and have like kind of gamify a DAO or have people be able to have this like community-based consensus or experience around DAOs that can be kind of fun. It's not like an investment you can get into. So either it's like you like are just going to be a spectator in viewing DAO Ball, or you want to actually like dive into DAO Ball and actually play it. So how I've been trying to figure out the best way to explain DAO Ball, because it's kind of a new paradigm, at least that I've been working with. And I try not to say the word game, because once I say the word game, people just go to like, okay, what's the game engine? You know, am I downloading this? Am I playing it online, kind of thing? Is where are the graphics going to look like? But it's not a like graphical game. What it is basically a very simple baseball-esque simulation. So there's like right now there's 12 teams, and each team has like 8 players, I think. So it's baseball, but I've tweaked the rules a little bit. And the basic idea is that every period of time, right now it's every other day, there will be a match, or there will be a group of matches where all the teams are playing 1v1, just your normal baseball thing. There is no direct interaction with the simulation itself. So like once the matches start, like it'll just go, and a power of internet computer that allowed this is the on-chain randomness. So other blockchains, it's hard to like get a random number, essentially something that no one can predict ahead of time. So using that and be able to kind of use players have their different stats, you know, skills, and using kind of randomness, you're able to kind of like create a simulation. But the actual experience is more around that than the thing itself. So how people would actually play it is in there are kind of two ways. One is just kind of the spectator, so which is kind of just what it sounds like. There are different minor things you can do to like participate and potentially earn like in-game rewards or NFTs or, you know, that kind of like just fun stuff, where you're spectating the game, you're predicting match outcomes, you're like following favorite teams and other little kind of minor things like that. But the real like experience, if you want to like play DAO Ball, is you are a co-owner and manager of a team. So each team is set up to be kind of like this open DAO system, to where anyone can like buy into the DAO. It'll be like a tokenomics model later. Right now, for the upcoming beta later this year, it's going to just be like an invite system, where someone will get an NFT, and if you have that NFT, you're able to like vote with the DAO. So essentially how it works is if you're got the NFT, you're a co-owner, you've got a few simple things that you can do. So instead, there's some reasons for this. So in a typical like base, if this were like a baseball game, what you would do is you would like, you know, you're picking your lineups and you're doing like other things, some really technical stats driven skill-based game. But instead, what we're going with is, because if you want baseball or baseball game, like there are plenty of those, and we want to make something special and something unique, to where like DAOs are all about communities and like communal consensus. So how can we really utilize that in a kind of fun way? And the way we kind of landed on was, this is more of a, I don't necessarily want to use narrative, but a where you're making decisions that kind of affect like who is the team, who are the players, defining kind of like how they would react to certain scenarios or different choices like the team has to make either about the game or about some situation outside the game. So what will happen is every between every match, every simulation, each team is going to be getting a scenario that's randomized and whatnot on the internet computer. So say like you're on team one with a bunch of other people, it being kind of an open DAO, you'll be able to like go. Oh, I should have prefaced this. This is all in the browser. So this is just like imagine you go to a website, either like a think of like fantasy sports or just like looking up sports scores or whatever. So you'll be able to kind of see like all the scores and stats and things that have happened before and be able to like view live matches themselves. It's very, very, very simple. But also you'll go there and like before a match happens, you're gonna want to vote on different teams' decisions. So each team will be given a prompt or a different scenario on like something that could happen. And like these, it's hard to say because these literally could be anything. It could be like, you have broken equipment or you have like this scenario, you have this player doing this thing and you need to figure out how to like handle it. So you'll essentially get like three choices. So it's like, here's the scenario. Teams are doing something, players are doing something, something bad happens, something good happens. And then here's choice one, here's choice two, and choice three. So it's kind of like for those who play like the kind of tabletop role-playing type of games, where it's just kind of like there is the mechanical, like, oh, you got combat and stuff, but there is the like, here's a scenario, and you're gonna have to like make some trade-offs or take some risks in order
Exactly.
to like pick what you think
That's
your team does.
cool. And then based on these scenarios, the players and the team performance better or worse, right? It depends exactly the decisions you take risks. Maybe some players are injured, or maybe you like go more for the safe way, but then maybe the performance is not the best, and they're like more like they start to like lose the games because they are not like pushing, you are not pushing a lot, right? And
Right.
different things. Yeah, that's something cool. That's something cool. And what is the it's now in alpha version, is in the
Yeah,
pre-mainnet, pre-launch, what is
it's still in development. I don't have anything on mainnet right now. I have a very basic running version, development version that I'm working on right now. We're at the process of We actually just a couple of weeks ago we got a grant from Dfinity that will be completed mid this year, thinking like summer, late summer. So my hope is that about that time is where I'm going to put out some sort of beta. And like this whole process, like I've got a blog going, like you can follow Dowball on Twitter, on Tagger, Discover. I'm kind of everywhere posting things so you can follow along development and see what's going on. And like in order for me to send out like invites for when the beta does happen, like you're gonna have to follow. I'm gonna have to know about you, so you're gonna have to follow. But yeah, so the aim is to kind of have an MVP mid to later this year.
Cool. Nice. I'm looking forward to see, next the demo and the MVP, and yeah, looks really great, the project. And I'm thinking, because also we have in the ICP Hub North America, we have an accelerator program, incubator accelerator program. It calls like Quantum Leap Labs. We are now incubating three projects, and we have in
Nice.
our portfolio another six pending. We would like to, you know, this year incubate like 10 projects, and yeah, maybe this is something like could be interesting for your project. If you mentioned you are working so hard, also you have one guy working with you more in the design team, like part-time. Yeah, maybe this is something like you could be interested. But yeah, that's really cool. And for sure, yeah, we will follow the is it, what is the Twitter handle exactly?
Twitter, I believe, is DowballXYZ.
Okay.
Dowball was taken. I'm not sure why. But
Yeah.
yeah, look up Dowball. You should be able to find a couple
Yeah.
different places.
Double XYZ. Sounds really good. Yeah. And maybe yeah, we can have another conversation maybe in 3 4 months. You know, once the you have the MVP, or maybe you can show us the a short demo. Would be great, but I love the idea. I love the concept. That's really cool. I'm more like a football player, but like soccer, if you want to say here. But yeah, baseball, of course, and this type of you know, dApps or is as you mentioned, it's not like a video game, but you have a lot of things, you know, like for management, and also like short like type of video game, but not totally like a video game because it's more than that. And also like the DAO as well is another good point here that you can own the team, you can be, you know, take decisions, and depends of your decisions, you can have like good choices or bad choices. And yeah, that's and different scenarios, as you mentioned, internet computer through the randomness thing is easy to do it, and that's su super cool, super cool.
So one thing that I'll note on Dowball, just to kind of like give the high level idea that I missed, was like the aim with Dowball and like the thing that I'm trying to go for is to make it in the long run when it's ready, like to completely decentralize it and have it set up in a way to where like I can still be a contributor, but I really want this open up to the community, not to just play, but to be able to contribute. So we've set it up so in a way where when it comes to players, teams, all these scenarios and all the choices they have to make in the scenarios, this is something that the community can contribute to, of just like someone creates a scenario and the community likes it and adopts it and it becomes in the game. So I want to make a system in which like this is kind of a self-sustaining, owned and run by the community type of thing.
Yeah,
But
the game,
we'll get
it's
there.
yeah, no, exactly. And the concept is here, like itself, like evolve, right? And the developers can contribute to improve the game or add new features or more things. That's something cool. Yeah. Okay. And also, I know like you are collaborating in different activities as well. You were doing workshop at the University of Michigan last week. Talking about in general internet computer, blockchain singularity, and why ICP is different compared with other blockchains. Also, you are as I mentioned you, and as I mentioned the audience before, you are also collaborating with Internet or ICP Hub North America, doing the ICP Master. That is a new initiative that we are doing. It's totally new thing because we have like master courses for 3 months live with the best mentors. 2 months is like more interaction, more theory and practice. And then the third month is more for the MVP and create a backend canister and you know, create like new or cool projects. What is your thoughts on that? Why you, because I think as you mentioned as well, you are like totally new in the education side. You never know, right? Internet computer. How like is the path that you want to take? And this is cool always. I love your chameleon thing or whatever you want to call it, but the way that you know, be exposed like in different situations, different scenarios. And yeah, it was really good, the previous conversation with Michigan. You did an amazing job, but I'm curious like why you want to participate in this initiative in the ICP Master. And also, yeah, what is exactly the course that you have in mind? If you can share more information to the developers that maybe are applying now or they are interested to apply.
I don't have any background with education or anything like that. But that being said, I've always loved to teach, at least when it's you got your group of developers, you're working with people and really trying to teach someone and explain some of these complex subjects. Thanks to you, I've given these opportunities to do these kinds of things, and I think it's really important for, especially the ecosystem as a whole, is we can have this technology and be super cool, but if we don't have the people behind it building the infrastructure and really getting into it and being invested in it, it's not really going to go anywhere. So we're going to need developers in order to do that. And especially to expose some of this, okay, you're from web 2, here you can pivot over and use internet computer versus going down a blockchain route, or you can go hey, you're a blockchain developer, the stuff you're running into, you can come over to the internet computer and have a lot more freedom and abilities to do that. So it kind of worked out. I think it'll be an awesome experience to just work with people. So yeah, I'll be doing the Motoko course, and it'll just kind of, yeah, so we have it set up so twice a week for 8 weeks, and the idea is just to kind of have a small group of people and really break down Motoko, this new programming paradigm, and really have people understand the capabilities and things you can do of hey, this stuff is familiar, this is what you can do in web 2, you can do that here, but here are the differences, here's the new language, here's why you should care, and just really get people invested in wanting to be in this space, and so we can have a bunch of devs, so we can have a bunch of cool stuff. So I'm pretty excited.
Nice. Yeah, nice to hear you. And yeah, just to put more context, or add more insights to the Ethan's comment. The ICP Master basically is, we have different programs. We have the ICP Master Motoko Web 2. That is the program that Ethan is going to lead and teach. Also, we have the ICP Master Motoko Blockchain. That is taken by Jonathan Green as well. It's more maybe similar courses, but maybe more focused for devs that have more experience in Web3 already, instead of coming from Web2 or more traditional tech industries. Then we have the TypeScript as well. TypeScript Advanced is taken by Daniel McCoy. And then we have a bootcamp as well, ICP bootcamp. It's just 5 days for beginners, right? For developers that they are more in the early stages for that. And yeah, basically it's 25 devs per cohort. We give them fellowships, because this program, it costs, I think, $10,000 to $12,000, more or less, but it's totally free for the top developers, for the developers that we select. And Ethan, for sure, he will select or do interviews also together with me, to select the best top 25 for this program, for the Web2 program. And yeah, of course, I'm also super happy. Then after the mentor by Ethan and other mentors, the idea is after 3 months, build their own MVP, and then the best projects, maybe they can apply. We can, of course, sponsor them to apply for the Definity Grant program, similar to the, that Ethan applied for his project. For startups, normally start for $5,000. But yeah, this is totally an amazing initiative, right? As you mentioned before, to get more developers that we needed, of course, to continue building and you know, build all the infrastructure and have more dApps and more projects on the ecosystem. That is totally necessary, right? To like have a healthy environment or healthy blockchain or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that's really, really cool. And yeah, then normally we finish the conversations talking like funny questions more related with the ecosystem. My first question is, are you like 8 years gang, Ethan? Do you have like
I
ICP
do.
tokens staked for 8 years?
I'm locked and not dissolving. So I got a few different ones, but yeah, I'd definitely set some aside that was just locked indefinitely. So
Nice. Yeah, me too. That's cool. Yeah, this is really important, right? Also for the ecosystem. And I think like 40% of almost like half of the ICP tokens now that they are staked, they are staked in 8 years. And I think the majority is not dissolving now. I think we will wait until 8 years and then dissolve and wait another 8 years, say 16 years. And as we know, the roadmap is 2040. This is just the beginning. The mainnet or the genesis was 2021. We have enough time, right, to continue building. But yeah, good to know that you're like an 8 years gang.
yeah.
Second question. Based on the ecosystem now on ICP, what is your favorite dApp or your favorite project
Ooh.
now? Or if you have a bunch of them, a project that you mentioned Tagger before that you are also posting things there that I think is really cool. What is, in your opinion, the projects that you really like it or you think they have like a good future? Or
Yeah, I'd say two that I'm super, like, I use on a daily basis, and I totally respect, is one, OpenChat. Like, it, you know, it's a Telegram or, you know, just a group messaging service. It's decentralized. The devs just are always pushing out new stuff. And I think it's a really good model to be able to like integrate. Essentially, you have a basic infrastructure of messaging. I think that project's really cool. And then, yeah, Tagger would be my other one of just them really kind of pushing like the experimentation of DAO technology and having it less be like, here's an app on the internet computer, and like, here's this kind of open service that's run by a DAO, and you can participate, and it has, you know, incentives and tokenomics that kind of reflect some of their values. So I'm gonna be following that and see how that goes in the long term.
Nice, cool. And who are Ethan admired from the ecosystem? Someone like, in your opinion, you know, in general, you are following maybe on Twitter or you like his comments or you are working together pretty close or someone like she or he is like, oh, is super smart or I love his or her approach.
Yeah, I'd say like there's a lot of people out there, so I don't want to like, you know, there's a lot of cool people working on cool things out there, but two that has stood out to me is one kind of one of the reasons I got into like instead of internet computer being a side project and kind of diving into it, Austin Fothery goes by AFAT. I think on Twitter and different places, but he works for Origin. But like the thing that I very much respect him for is he runs IC Devs, which is just a little nonprofit that raises money to fund libraries like built in Motoko or Rust. Like really the boring infrastructure work that no one really thinks about or cares about, but is very important. And then someone else like that's just like feels like kind of behind the scenes, but it's doing really good work is Wenzel Bartlett. He's kind of everywhere too, but he has been really pushing this initiative, this group called CodeGov, in which I'm a part of, which essentially is trying to set up a different system. So like right now we kind of rely on Dfinity for a lot of things, and we would put our trust in Dfinity, which I we fully trust Dfinity, but like the essence of like blockchain and Web3 is to have things like be decentralized. And in order to get to that point, you're gonna have to do like a bunch of boring stuff or have like people involved doing things that Dfinity would normally do. So it's kind of starting that process of being able to like review and when proposals go up on the internet, like do they say what they like, does the description match the actual like update that they're doing, and all these different aspects of just kind of like verification, and they're kind of going into the SNS space. So I have a lot of respect for the people who are just kind of behind the scenes and not doing anything flashy, but are like very important for the future of the ecosystem.
Yeah, and I love your answer. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here that maybe are not like super famous on Twitter or super famous in general for the ecosystem, but they are building so hard. And there are a lot. There are a lot,
Yeah.
and that's something like we need it as well, right? Like make noise and make waves is important, but build is even more, right? And maybe before the internet computer, we have a lot of tech guys, a lot of things building, like the core of the internet computer with Dfinity, Austin you mentioned, and other people from the ecosystem. Now we are starting to, spread more of the word, maybe with the ICP hubs, also with the community. That is also super important. But never forget, developers and all the people that are collaborating and maybe are behind the scenes, they are the heroes here, right? And it's important to stand out as well. Yeah, for
Absolutely,
sure.
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, Ethan Thelletti, that's it's a pleasure to have you here and discuss, about your journey, about developers, about all the topics that we discussed. It's a real pleasure to have you. Just to finish, do you have any last thought, something that you want to share before wrap it up?
Not too much. Thank you for being my first podcast host. So this has been a fun experience. I'd say if you're a developer in the ecosystem or want to be in the ecosystem, like feel free to reach out to me on Twitter, open chat, like any service. I'm GekTek anywhere, GekCTek. So yeah, reach out to me. I'm here to help. And if you need anything.
Nice. Yeah. And if you want to know more about his project, DAO Ball, and all the updates that he's doing and his team, check it out, the Twitter as well, DAO Ball XYZ. Also, Tagger, I'm not sure exactly if you are active in other social
Yeah,
media
it's
platforms.
look up DAOBall, or I do have actually a static website of just DAOBall.xyz, so you can go there too and find all the links to everything.
Sounds good. Perfect, Ethan. Yeah, see you soon. And yeah, all the best for your projects, for the ICP Master, and all the activities that you are doing for this 2024. See you soon.
Thanks.
See you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.